Good to see everyone out today. Looking forward to a new year. You know, it just seems like we turned a page on the year before. You know, the days come by in a blink. The weeks go by in a blur. The months just fall off the calendar like leaves off a tree in autumn. And before we know it, we're writing another number on the checks and everything. We're writing another year in there and trying to get used to that. I know it's kind of lost on the young because things go a little bit slower for them, but as life goes on, the tempo picks up pace, it seems, and these things just go by even quicker. We're going to look at some verses this morning about renewal. The first one, if you would, let's look at Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, Jeremiah 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Verse 33, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother say, know the Lord, because they will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. That's a new beginning that God gave to us. Or gave to the people then, to promise to them, of a new beginning. And each and every day, I know it's kind of cliche, it comes from the 60s, but you know, each day is the beginning of the rest of your life. And each day for the Christian is like that. A time for renewal, to avoid the mistakes we made yesterday, or last year, or last month. To do better at meditation and prayer. And learning God's Word. He says, a new heart I will give you and a new spirit I will put into you. From Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart He puts into us when we become new. God talks a lot about what's being new. He says He'll make a new covenant. He'll put the law within them. And He'll write on their hearts. Not on a tablet and not on scrolls, but in our very hearts. He'll write the things that are there. You know, we start each year with some goals in mind. You know, sometimes the goals kind of fall away the first few days, and you know, pretty soon those resolutions aren't what we thought they would be or as easy as we thought they would be, and we leave them behind. We leave them with the old year. There was a couple who were sitting with a marriage counselor for their first session. And, of course, the psychologist asked them to identify what seemed to be the root of their problem. You know, where did this start? When did y'all start having problems in the marriage? Well, the wife responded, it all started when we thought it would be cute to think up each other's New Year's resolutions. Now, it's easy to think about how others should improve their lives. Not as easy to be critical of ourselves sometimes. Christians should be familiar with the language of newness. At the end of the Bible study, the one seated on the throne says, I make all things new. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what happens to us when we choose to follow Jesus. When we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, we rise that new creature. Never to do, hopefully, what we've done before, but to keep walking towards God. In his writings to the church, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. In other words, you must be born again. Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, unless he becomes new, man and woman, we become a new person at that time. We become that person that can fit in God's plan, that God has a plan for. And each and every day, and each and every month, and each and every year, and each and every week, God has a plan for me and you. And that plan is to be new and fresh each day. To be alive as His creation. To know that each and every day we walk with Him. To know each and every day we're forgiven as long as we walk with Him. To know that each and every day is a new day that we can start out and do better than the last day. To walk closer to Him. Now first this morning He said, we'll have a new heart. Now in the Old Testament, the heart is not the place of love and sorrow that poets and romantic figures have made in these more recent days. These are kind of Western ideas. In the Old Testament, the heart is the seat of wisdom, the place of memory. A person thinks with the heart, makes plans with the heart, comes to a decision with his or her heart. Those who are righteous love the Lord with all their hearts. They are upright in heart and pure in heart. So we see that to give our heart to God is not just to say that we love Him, but also that we place our wisdom in His Word, that we follow Him. All of that comes from Him, that we plan and think with our hearts on God each and every day. But the heart is also a place of downfall. Jeremiah made the statement, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? Sometimes we can't understand ourselves, sometimes, the way we act. Why do we do the things we do? As one book once said it, why do men do the 10 stupid things to mess up their lives? And these are often smart, intelligent, and rational men. So, the heart is a funny thing. It can either lead us to God or it can lead us down a path of destruction. Just take a look at some of the celebrity figures who had everything in life that they, you know, anyone could possibly have, and yet still be reckless with their lives and be unfaithful to God and their family. In our hearts, there's a desire to be deceitfully corrupt. Sin was classically defined as the heart curved in or on itself, or in the Latin, cor incurvatum. In other words, the heart was crooked. It was not out there for people to see, but turned inward on itself. So, something is wrong with so many's heart today. Not just within here, where we may need to make a change to do better for the next year, but out there where God is forgotten, God is a fable. It's just superstition. It's just story. It means nothing. Oh, it might make you a nice man or woman. It might help you to be a little bit better person, but don't put too much stock in it. It's really not that important. There are more important things in this world. But God says He'll give you a new heart. He'll help you think the right way. He'll help you love the right way. He'll help you be the right way that we should be. Secondly, what we're talking about this morning is a new spirit. And God says, I'll give you a new spirit. The Spirit gives us power. The Spirit gives us energy. The Spirit is the wind beneath our wings, as the song says. God put the Spirit there as a down payment, a promise that He was going to keep, that when the time came, we would be with Him in heaven. The Spirit inspired men to write this word here so that we have a record of what God wants us to know, what He said to us. And that gospel, that record here, is still just as powerful as it is 2,000 years ago. You can go out there and you can entice people with this and that, and you can give them this, and you can make it just seem like a good old time at church. And really and truly, it should be a celebration when we come here. Not only to learn of God, but to celebrate what we have in Him. But they go out there and they try to appease the people and bring them into the doors any kind of way they can, just to run up the numbers on the wall, because that's all they really care about, is running up those numbers. But when it comes down to brass tacks, when the rubber meets the road, if this gospel that's going to appeal to the heart that God is looking for, the heart that says, God, I believe in You, I'll obey You, and I won't question You. That's the new spirit we should have in ourselves. The Spirit is the breath of God within us. In the Old Testament, the word for Spirit can also mean breath of wind. You know, we can't do anything unless we can breathe, can we? You don't last very long. You hold your breath, you can't swim very long. You got to come up for air. We don't get very far without that breath in us. And God breathed the breath into the man's nostrils. There wasn't some primordial soup out there, some amino acids and water that fell from the sky that a lightning bolt hit and some little critter started swirling around in the soup. God breathed life into man. And that's where life is. Life force itself is still a mystery, even to science. And when we have this new heart, when we have this new spirit, we're ready for God's third gift. God says, I'll make a new covenant with you. He's going to have a new relationship with us if we want that relationship with Him. God says, I want a new relationship with you. God says, I want to live within you. He says, I don't want to impose my will on you from the outside with laws and regulations. And, you know, in this theocracy that He had set up with the Jewish nation. I will write my laws upon your heart. They're not stamped in stone, they're written on the heart. And that heart drives us each and every day, just as it pumps blood around and gives us the oxygen and spreads it around the way we need that breath in us. That new heart, that new breath, inspired that new covenant. And that new covenant is us with God. God wanted to start all over with Israel. In 587 B.C., Israel had broken the commandments. The breaking of the commandments had led to the brokenness of the whole people, the destruction of the temple, and the descent into slavery. You know, they came back, but they were never totally free. They told Jesus they were free. They felt they were free. But they were under the thumb of the Roman Empire. And before that, the Medes and the Persians, and then the Greeks and then the Babylonians before that. From that time, they were never truly free. And there's nothing more evident than to see people living in sin, to engage in sin. They're not free. They're tied to that. They can't resist that. More and more over, we see people engaging in sin in their lives. And it's not enough today, what they did yesterday. That it'd be more outrageous. That it'd be more exciting. That it'd be more this and more that. Because they're just bored with life. Because life has no meaning for them. God wants to start all over with us. We have broken His commandments. We've lived in sin. And if we've taken those steps and we're in the fold, then we've made our peace with God. As we learned last week, that's what peace means. Not peace among nations, we'll never have that, as long as there's greedy people and evil people. But peace between God and me and God and you, that we can have this life, that we can have this salvation from Him because of Jesus. The world around us is crumbling. Even though they don't see it that way. And, you know, we're not talking about bridges falling. We're talking about spirituality. We're talking about morals and people. That's all crumbling around us as people descend into not believing into God or not really holding up God as they should. A lot of people believe in God, they're professed to believe in God, but not a thing that they do in their whole life is going to ever lead you to believe that they really believe that in their lives. I once heard a story about an English missionary. He was ministering to a fellow in prison, condemned to die. And he told him about the gospel and how wonderful it was and what it was. And of course, the prisoner had a hard heart. And he laughed at the missionary. And the missionary looked at him, you know, like, why are you laughing at me? He says, I'm laughing at you because if you truly believe that, if you truly believe what was in this word, you would crawl across England over the hedgerows and through the thickets and the thorns to get that word to everybody out there if you truly believed it. Because he knew this man didn't stray far beyond the walls. He knew this man didn't act like he truly believed it. And that's what we need to do this new year. To truly believe in God, if we do. To show it to others. To let others know That it's a wonderful thing to be in God's fold. That it's not a burden. It's a joy. It's a comfort. It brings new meaning to our life. And it's what we hold precious in our life. That's the way to attract them to that. So we have this new covenant with God. And with a new covenant is a new beginning. He says, I'll give you a new heart, a new way of thinking. I'll give you a new spirit, and a new boost or motivation to our lives. And He'll make a new covenant or relationship with us. In Christ, all things are made new, the Scripture tells us. It connects with the deep truth. We can become new creatures. You know, there's a wonderful old saying that every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. You know, people out there want to condemn our religion or condemn anybody who follows God. They're out there and say, I knew what you did a long time ago. I knew what you were. That's true. Every saint has a past, but every sinner has a future if they'll take a hold of it and go with it. The past is gone. You can't change it. You can't make it better. But I tell you what, if we beseech God, if we follow God, we're forgiven for it. And say hallelujah to that, because that is the most wonderful thing. You know, the kids like to do do-overs. You know, they play baseball or something like that, and they miss the ball, and says, that was a practice, a do-over or something like that. Well, with God, we got a do-over. And, you know, some people have come to God and fallen back, come to God and fallen back, come to God. You know, and they spent their lives like that. But there's always that chance for a do-over. And for a do-over that can stick. For a do-over that changes their life for the better. And they never walk back into that sin. We can change. We may not lose the weight we want to lose. We may not get our cholesterol numbers down to where we want them to be. We may not be able to do this and that, but we can change for the better for God. That's easy sometimes. But we can't change on our own. The change comes from within. The beauty of the new covenant is that that change comes from a heart that's burning for God. There's not someone on the outside forcing us to change. The Word is written on our hearts. The Spirit is within us. Now is the time to give our hearts to God. Today's, you know, in a few days we're going to have a new year. And God is offering you a gift. A new heart, a new spirit, a new relationship with Him, a new way of thinking, new motivation. You know, all of that in His kingdom, it awaits us. We accept this gift in a very tangible way. We take it into our hearts, we obey Him, and then we walk that walk that we need to walk with Him. You know, sometimes when we come to worship, we think we're giving something to God. We think we're appeasing Him. Kind of like they used to sacrifice people to volcanoes or something like that. We're not giving something to God. God is giving something to us when we come and worship, when we pray. When we begin this new year, in a few days, let's begin it with a clear realization that God wants to give something to us. And not just something, He wants to give all to us. In our class this morning, we learned about a guy who wanted to be healed of his being crippled. The first words out of Jesus' mouth was, I forgive your sins. Let us never forget that that is the most precious gift that we have in life, is to be forgiven of our sins. That each and every day, and you know, till the day we leave this earth for our reward, we're going to fail, we're going to stumble, and God just keeps forgiving us. That blood washes us white as snow, and that is our greatest gift. My prayer, and I hope your prayer, the beginning of this new year, is that we begin it with a new heart, a new spirit, a new relationship, and a new beginning in Christ for our lives. That we grow this year. That we learn this year. And that we love this year. each other and the laws that are out there. A guy named Joseph Stovall wrote a book, Through the Fog. He was thinking of David Livingstone. Everybody knows the old saying, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. The explorers went through Africa looking for the missionary. He walked over 29,000 miles in Africa, spreading the word of God. His wife died early in their ministry, and he faced stiff opposition from his Scottish brethren. He ministered half-blind. His kind of perseverance spurs me on. As I run, I remember the words in his diary. Send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever me from any tie but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart. Anywhere with Jesus we can safely go, as the song says. And that's where he lived. Anything God wanted to put him into, he was willing to go as long as God was there. And God is going to be with us in the next new year, as he is with each and every day. And we can walk with him, and we can use his power in our lives. And we can help ourselves, our brethren, and others as we go into this new year. Pray for what we can do. Pray that we have the inspiration. Pray that we have the resources. And pray that we follow through on it. That's what the new year holds for us. I hope today that you'll pray those same things. And that we'll look forward to those same things as we start a new year once again. As quickly as the last one left, this one becomes new again. I don't know what your condition is this morning or if you have need of the church, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song of the invitation?